Now, text the keyword bank to 200-200.
You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info.
Standard data and message rates apply.
That's bank to 200-200.
710 WOR.
This is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. It's Friday, but it's already a big news morning here, Len. We've got a breaking news story coming out of France, southern France. A hostage situation in a supermarket in Trèbes, a small town in southern France. One person killed and something like 12, I'm seeing on Fox, injured. So I don't know what's going on. There were reports of gunshots in the supermarket, and the hostage taker pledged allegiance to ISIS.
Yeah, so that's the best we can get out of this small town called Trèbes, T-R-E-B-E-S. It's in southwestern France.
Trèbes, you don't pronounce the S. It's
Trèbes. There was a policeman shot about 15 minutes away in the town of
Carcassonne.
They're saying he's not seriously injured.
The policeman, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the same person, by the way. The CBS report does not call it two separate incidents.
The BBC does. Two separate. Well, we'll see.
I think what they're saying, the gunman in a vehicle in Carcassonne mm-hmm. shot the policeman. Then that car proceeded several miles to Trèbes.
The supermarket,
yes,
where he took hostages.
A Super U store, it's called, Super U, taking a number of shoppers hostage, although they're saying, not long after that, officials told French television, most if not all the civilians who had been trapped inside the store were out safely. The gunman was said to be in there, but there are reports of two bodies laying motionless inside the store. They're saying for sure that this hostage taker shot at least one dead. And then, the mayor of Trèbes told another channel, suspect entered the store screaming, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, which means God is great.
Mm-hmm.
I'll kill you all.
This guy
yelled when he ran to the store.
Pledging allegiance to ISIS. So, all right, that's the breaking news today. Also, really sad news, Michael Davidson, a 37-year-old firefighter, was killed last night at this blaze in Harlem on St. Nicholas Avenue. It was a set of a movie, Ed Norton's movie, Motherless Brooklyn, and they were setting up to film today, I guess.
Outside.
And Ed Norton, I think he may have called the police because he saw the smoke coming out of the building while he was preparing for his shots. Michael Davidson was the nozzle man from Harlem's Engine 69, first person into the building. Dead, sadly. He leaves behind four daughters.
Yeah,
that's
just terrible. That's tough, his brother is a firefighter. His dad was a firefighter. It's in their family. And I forget the exact number, so forgive me, but they always mention how many firefighters have been killed over the years. And the number is just, I'm going to say around 1,500. But this dates back to the late 1800s. But, I mean, just the number of FDNY who have lost their lives trying to protect us all, just heartbreaking.
And this fire took place in a building that was once home to a very, very famous Harlem jazz club, St. Nick's Jazz Pub, where, I mean, everyone from Duke Ellington to Cab Calloway probably played there in the day. And we spoke to someone earlier today who knows about this.
Alice Stockton Rossini was on the scene and spoke to a neighbor named Elaine who had a lot of information about this particular building.
Well, they are pretty old. They're pretty old buildings. But the sad part of it is that was a landmark. It was closed anyway. And many, many famous jazz musicians used to go there. So I guess maybe with all of the equipment and, production items, maybe something flared up.
Well, she said she had seen Con Ed working in the area in the last couple of days. Now, she went on to say,
very famous area. About 5 or 6 blocks up is where Duke Ellington used to live. And in my building alone, 405, there were nothing but jazz musicians there. And I have to say that my family was in the industry. And my cousins are the Ronettes. Remember them?
Yeah.
Ronnie Spector is my cousin.
The Ronettes, how about that?
Ronnie Spector, yeah. So, a big blaze, big blaze last night. We don't know what caused it yet, but, you know, I've been on the sets of movies over the years, Len, and there are a lot of wires and cables, and all those lights are powerful, all that kind of stuff. So we'll have to wait and see what happened there.
This is Fire Commissioner Dan Nigro.
Firefighter Davidson was separated from the rest of the unit. A search ensued. Members tried desperately to find Firefighter Davidson. When they did, he was unconscious. Despite the best efforts of the members of our firefighting forces, EMS, and here at the hospital, they were unable to revive Michael.
Now, there are a couple of other firefighters. Joe, have we had an update on those other guys? Two other firefighters were sent to the hospital. Anything?
No, I haven't heard anything additional on them. I assume that was non-life-threatening injuries, but they were burned, I guess,
they said
severely.
Burns.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. I think I heard like second-degree burns, so yeah.
This is some. It became a five-alarm fire. It started in the basement. I guess the building was not occupied.
Right.
It was being used as the backdrop for this.
They were filming outside on the sidewalk.
Yeah, but just, and of course, this veteran who 37 years old has been in the force for 15 years.
He's a 15-year veteran in this department. And he sadly leaves behind his wife and four young children.
Yeah.
Michael Davidson, 37 years old. Also in our big three, a little trouble there for our mayor there, de Blasio. Yesterday at the corruption trial of Len's friend, Mr. Mangano.
Keep calling him my friend.
You have dinner with him and his wife, the food tester.
Linda is a very nice lady. I think at the trial they said she was in marketing. I'm not sure.
Now, she's the one who had the $100,000 a year no-show job.
Well, they refer to this low show.
Low show.
Yeah, she ate once in a while.
You guys are just being cruel. She happens to be, by the way, she happens to be a very
like,
nice.
She looks like she's
very nice.
She looks like she's more than once in a while.
Stop! You are just
sorry,
a net reader. Did you hear that?
I did. But
he ignored it.
I blame you, Len. For
well,
the
sure.
case.
You blame me for everything.
No, because they say the prosecution said Mangano didn't like the fact that that salary for Nassau County executive was like $115,000,
right.
And he wanted to continue a lavish lifestyle to keep up with people like you.
I thought you were
gonna... So you drove him to this.
When you have dinner with him on a regular basis, who pays
him? It wasn't a regular, okay? I had dinner. By the way, this is interesting. I had dinner with him once. And once at a restaurant, and also Al D'Amato was there, and some other mutual friends.
Yeah.
And then
everybody's squeaky clean in that restaurant.
Yeah, what do you do with that crowd?
My God, where do you drop?
What's going on?
Ate a lot of linguine and clam sauce. That's all I remember.
Where do you drop off the cash, Len?
By the way, it is an all cash restaurant. But that's that was one. But I've been at a couple of parties with him. No. At a friend's house.
Yeah.
But that wasn't no one picked up the tab other than the people who ran the party.
Len the Bagman Berman.
Yeah. But you know what? I met a son. His son is also tied up in this because I guess he was also employed
Have you been called to testify at the trial yet, Len?
Not yet. I didn't check my subpoenas today.
Exactly.
I get home. I always have a stack of them sitting at the front door.
Anyway, at this trial, Harendra Singh, the restaurant owner, dropped this bombshell. He claims that Mayor de Blasio pushed for illegal campaign contributions to be funneled to candidates de Blasio was supporting, including Congressman Yvette Clark. And Singh told him, you know, it's going to be tricky to raise all this kind of money. And de Blasio's response was, listen, I don't know. I don't want to know. Just do whatever you got to do.
And, of course, de Blasio's people say he's lying.
It's been investigated.
Nothing's happened here. Nothing
it's
to see here. Nothing inappropriate.
Well, you know, the whole thing is, I mean, money runs politics. Governor Cuomo has $31 million in a political war chest. How do you think he got that?
From Len Berman.
$31 million.
How did he get that?
Well,
Len, the bag man, you dropped
money.
It off.
What?
People give money.
Yeah, but you can only give money in limited contributions, like $2,000 or $3,000,
right.
Whatever the maximum is.
Right.
So this Singh guy, what he did was these straw donors So you basically, you're giving the money. You're giving a lot more than the limit on you. But you have your friends do it, and then you reimburse them.
And the other thing you can do is you can donate to PACs where there are no...
Oh, well, yeah, there are no laws there.
No, so. Yeah, no limits.
But according to Mr. Sing Sing, where he probably will wind up, Mayor de Blasio pushed for illegal campaign contributions.
No, and no, no. Don't no. See, now you're shading that, Michael.
I'm reading it from the New York Post.
Well, they're shading it.
Well, Post is always been big fans of de Blasio.
Supporters
you know,
of de Blasio.
He said, I don't want to know. Yeah. I don't want to know. I don't know that that's a crime.
And also rounding out the big three, things have really settled down in the White House, man. I think Trump's got his team in place.
Oh, my goodness.
He really knows what he's doing now. A couple of people have left here and there. Natural turnover.
You know, they're calling it Fox South. You know, John Bolton came out of Fox, the lawyer. Came out of Fox.
Bolton has replaced McMaster as the National Security Advisor. I'm a big Bolton fan, despite his walrus mustache.
Is he related to Michael Bolton?
No, he's not related to Michael
Bolton. I'm just curious.
Yeah. Although I got to tell you, he once ignored me, Bolton. I was at the Barnes & Noble on 5th Avenue and 45th Street. And Bolton was there. It was when he was a UN ambassador.
Sure.
And standing up to all those corrupt people in the
right.
UN.
Okay.
And I said, Ambassador Bolton, I just have to say, I think you're doing a great job. And he went, turned away. This guy is under fire from the New York Times all the time. I thought a guy like me, you know, cheer him on a little bit. He just shrugged his shoulders, turned away, went back to buying books or whatnot. So.
I guess if just saw
but
you,
I forgive him.
I guess you were just an unimposing character coming up to him. Yeah, yes. Who's this weasel?
Also out, John Dowd, the president's counselor, a lawyer who advised him not to testify, not to talk to Mueller, but the president says he wants to talk to Mueller.
Yeah. They probably gave him a sheet that said in big letters, do not testify. No, I'm kidding. But I don't think he's ever going to testify. I really don't.
Exactly. All right. Coming up, we have a chilling new video from that Las Vegas massacre. We'll put it on our website. It's really, really frightening. And a confession from the Austin bomber. We'll tell you what he said when we got back. Also, next up is your chance at $1,000 at 9:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's go to Bernie Viter with the traffic.
On the Voice of New York,
710. WOR.
Morning, everyone. At 8:24, in about 6 minutes, we'll give away 4 Mets tickets. Don't call now.
No.
But call when we ask you to at
8:30 on the dot.
You'll win some Mets tickets. Also, at Sandy Alderson, the Mets general manager, was tied up earlier. We had hoped to have him on. He is now scheduled for 9:40.
He's been behind a closed door meeting, so maybe he has some big Mets news for us.
I know he's going to call.
Pry it out of him.
He's gonna, no, he'll say, nah, we're just doing some organizational stuff. Say, well, thanks a lot, buddy. No, we want some news out of Sandy Alderson. 9:40, he will be joining us. Also, I got an email from one of our listeners. We were talking about just the tragedy of the firefighter.
Yeah.
Passed away.
Yeah.
Michael
Davidson, 37 years old.
So a listener named John said he's been cited for bravery 4 times in his career.
Wow.
And I was talking about the numbers. I knew I was off. He said he is the 1,150th New York firefighter.
In the history of the fire department?
In the line of duty. But just think of that number. 1,150 in the line of duty over the years. Mm. Now, other note.
The bravest of the brave, these guys.
Yeah. In the last segment, you guys were blaming me for Ed Mangano having these legal problems. Well, because I've had dinner with him.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to know the truth?
Yes.
Let me tell you now. You know who else I've had dinner with over the course of my illustrious career?
Sirhan?
No.
Who?
You've heard of Ken Lay?
Yes.
He was
the Enron guy.
Enron, yeah.
Did
He's
you
no longer with us.
Did you invest with him?
No, I did not. But he was the Enron guy, Ken Lay.
Ken Lay. Where'd you have dinner with him?
That was part of a conference in Napa. I was the guest speaker, and I sat at his table.
Was he an impressive guy?
Just a nice fellow. He was kind of just he wasn't one of these boisterous. I've been around some boisterous CEOs.
Yeah.
He wasn't one of them. He was kind of a low-key guy. And but I also had dinner once at a charity event. Remember the name Dennis Kozlowski?
Vaguely.
All right. He was Tyco.
Oh, right.
Remember the story of the golden shower curtains that he had in his apartment? He went to jail for... abuse of money with his company.
Do you have like a season pass to go visit all these people?
Well, he's out of jail now. Kenley died in prison.
Kenley, he did die in prison. Yeah. That's right, right.
So who?
These are all your pals.
No, I'm just saying, a lot of corrupt financiers. I'm just saying, over the years, I've happened to have dinner with these people.
And Milken, is he a big buddy of yours too?
Never met Milken. Now, I'm sure you've had dinner with some scoundrels or lunch. Never once.
Well, I take that back. There was a guy named Garth Drabinsky who was a big Broadway producer in the 90s. He produced musicals like Ragtime. He had a publicly traded company called Livent. I interviewed him a number of times, had lunch with him a couple of times, and it turned out that he kept two sets of books.
Oh, boy.
One set of books said all of his shows were making tons of money. The other said the company was basically broke and bankrupt, and Garth Drabinsky, Canadian, did wind up going to prison when his company collapsed. So,
you go through your history. You know, you meet some scoundrels along the way.
Find a few here and there. That's it. Showbiz types.
Yeah. No, I never met Madoff either, Bernie Madoff. And thank God. I wasn't rich enough to invest with him, so I never had any dealings with him.
I know some people who got cleaned out by Madoff.
Oh, I do too. Yeah. I know a lot of people.
Rough.
Some sad stories, may as well deal with them quickly. Remember the 16-year-old girl who was shot in a school in Maryland?
Yeah.
Remember the shooter was Austin Wyatt Rollins. He died. He was shot, we think, by the school resource officer.
Yes, yeah.
Well, anyway, he had shot two people. He had shot a 16-year-old girl and a 14-year-old male student. The 14-year-old male was shot in the leg and discharged from the hospital the following day. The 16-year-old... Jalen Willie has been taken off
life support. She was shot in the head, I think.
Yeah. Just a unspeakable tragedy there.
Terrible. Yeah. Also, in more sad and chilling news, we have the Austin bomber Mark Anthony Condit. His confession, which apparently was on his cell phone, a 25-minute phone recording. In which he said he wished he, quote, were sorry, but I am not.
Not
he
sorry.
Says.
Oh, great.
And he talks about seven explosive devices he has created. Still real no motive here that I can see. Condit called himself a psychopath. Said he's been disturbed since he was a young man. He's only 23. Police Chief Brian Manley says the message was an outcry of a very challenged, young man talking about the challenges in his personal life. So we still really don't know what the specific motivation is for Mark Anthony Condit to have come up with those seven explosive devices, but it does appear to me to be a psychopath.
Well, authorities say they may never know. And also, the surveillance video now has been released.
Oh, this is scary.
Of the Las Vegas shooter. His final days, he's caught on surveillance video, wheeling luggage around, stocked with weapons and ammunition. This was the wacko who, by the name of Stephen Paddock,
shot up those people at that music festival in Las Vegas.
58 people died October 1st. So anyway, a lot of this video is out. If you have a curiosity, and I guess a lot of people
do. And it shows him bringing the bags of guns and ammunition or whatnot up with the help of some bellhops, I think, are helping him bringing the ammunition to his room.
Well, the MGM Resorts has released the video, and if you want to check it out, we'll have it up shortly on our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. All right, now's your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets. See the Mets take on the Cardinals March 31st at Citi Field. Be caller number 14. 800-321-0710. You're the winner. Brought to you by the New York Mets and Coca-Cola. Opening weekend at Citi Field features a Mets Build-A-Bear Teddy giveaway to the first 15,000 fans on Saturday, March the 31st, and a tote bag giveaway to all fans on Sunday, April the 1st. So for tickets to opening weekend, go to Mets.com/tickets. Good luck with the 4-pack right now, 800-321-0710. Also right now, latest news headlines. Wow, some major breaking stories going on this morning. Here's Joe Bartlett.
All righty, Len, let's get you the latest on the situation in France. The Prime Minister of France says the hostage situation unfolding in the southern part of the country appears to be an act of terrorism. Local media reports say at least one person has been killed, others taken hostage at a supermarket where a man opened fire in what is believed to be an ISIS-inspired attack. According to reports, the gunman did yell ISIS slogans, and if the link is confirmed, this would be the first such attack since Emmanuel Macron had become president of France.
That's right, yeah.
Security forces also looking into a second incident there, about 15 minutes away from this current hostage situation. A policeman there shot, he was not killed, but at the supermarket we have two people shot, one has apparently been confirmed dead. Now, locally, the FDNY is mourning the loss of a 37-year-old firefighter. Michael Davidson was killed after responding to a fire at a movie set on St. Nicholas Avenue in Harlem. Witnesses say it was so intense, the firefighters actually had to back out of the building.
It started in the basement. The flames were coming through the roof. It looked like essentially like a volcano.
Davidson apparently became separated from other firefighters and was later found unconscious, died later at a hospital. He was the father of four daughters. President Trump says he's willing to testify in the Russia investigation. He was asked by reporters if he's willing to meet with the special counsel, Robert Mueller.
Mr. President, would you still like to testify to special counsel Robert Mueller, sir?
Thank you.
I would like to.
Yeah, he said, I would like to. The comments came on the same day that his top lawyer, John Dowd, quit because Trump wasn't following his advice. Dowd apparently advising the president stay clear of Mueller, trying to also limit the scope of any interview that the president may agree to.
He's not in it. He's not going to be interviewed by them. Right. He's not going to do it. I'm telling you, he would like to. Sure. You know, I'd like to pitch for the Mets, but I'm not going to.
If you have nothing to hide, Len, why would you not? Why would you be reluctant to talk?
The illusion of collusion.
No, but I just think his lawyers know full well, much as he bragged to Lester Holt that he fired Comey because of Russia.
That's not collusion.
This is obstruction of
it's
justice.
It's not collusion.
Obstruction of justice.
So he has the right to fire the FBI director. Yes, Democrats wanted him fired.
But he admitted why, and there's something called obstruction of justice. But go ahead.
Okay. Hey, guess what?
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 Market may open positive today.
Whoa,
what? Oh, turned around?
Don't say it too loudly. Yeah, we got an hour to go here. The Dow futures are up 33. Mm. They were down about 100 points a short time
Trump's
ago.
Trump's already won the trade war.
Mm-hmm. Hey, speaking of trades, big trade for the Giants. A lot of fans wondering, what's going on here? Jason Pierre-Paul sent to Tampa Bay for a third-round draft pick.
Yeah.
Pretty cheap.
Well, they're clearing salary cap.
But only a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, the Giants only save $2.5 million in cap space. $15 million of his salary is going to still be on the Giants this year.
Really?
A lot of people say there's a number of reasons for this. Some say it may be a locker room move just to get him out of there because he's just not good for the locker room.
Really? Yeah. I thought he was a pretty good guy.
So did I. And also to send a message, look, at we're cleaning things up. The other thing the Daily News is reporting today, this may be a sign to Beckham, hey, you straighten up or you're going too.
Wow.
But a lot of things going on with the Giants. They are switching their defense to a 3-4.
Yeah. You know, this was the player who blew up the fireworks in his hand, lost a couple of fingers, but he's still a terrific, terrific football player. So it doesn't sound like a lot of third-round draft pick for
sure. No, so you get a third-round draft pick in exchange, and you only clear $2.5 million in space caps. Yeah. So there's something
there's more
else
to it. Yeah. No,
by the way, JPP is the highest-paid defensive player in the league.
Wow.
The Giants are going to, his $15 million of his
salary is going to
count toward them. Yeah.
All right, Joey B., the number one Giants fan on the staff. Just
I know,
you know
a
Michael.
Lot about the Giants. He keeps looking my direction as if I should be chiming in. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, coming up, big march tomorrow in Washington. The students of Parkland are going to be there. One of the students who will be marching, a survivor, will be marching, and we're going to be speaking with her. Coming up next, she's a junior in the high school, and looking forward to speaking with young Rebecca Schneid. That's coming up next. Plus, your chance at $1,000 coming up at 9:05 on 710 WOR. Right now, Bernie Viter has your traffic.
A very good Friday morning to everybody at 8:41 here in the morning. And Len, we have a winner of the four-pack Mets tickets.
Well, particularly good morning for Pete Camilleri of Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey. You got the four tickets.
Fabulous.
See the Mets and Cardinals on the 31st. We'll have a lot more tickets for you every morning at 7:30. And I have a hunch maybe some 8:30s thrown in. But definitely
a four-pack at 8:30.
7:30. Next Monday for more Mets tickets.
That's right. All right. Tomorrow, Len, is the big march. Millions of students from all across the country will be gathering a march for our lives against assault weapons, and they want background checks. It's becoming a big political movement. And we want to talk to Rebecca Schneid, who is a junior at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, where that horrific shooting took place. She is also the editor-in-chief of her school newspaper, The Eagle. Eye. She is in Washington, D.C. She will be marching tomorrow. Good morning, Rebecca.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Hey, Rebecca, first let me ask you, how are you and all your fellow students doing a week or so after that horrific shooting?
Yeah, I think that it fluctuates. Sometimes we're okay, sometimes we're not.
Yeah.
There's still moments, you know, when like a textbook drops or sirens, we hear sirens and we're not okay. But I think that what we're trying to do is band together and just be together in this, and that helps a lot.
Hey, Rebecca, this is Len, and I'm curious, how many of your fellow students have made the trip to Washington? And I guess two-part question, what do you hope to accomplish?
Hundreds of us. I know that there's two planes with about, like, there's 400 people on those planes that came up and that are coming up on Saturday. And then there's other trips that have already made it here and trips that are making it here today. So there's hundreds of us, possibly even 1,000. I don't know if I have an exact number, but, yeah, a lot of us. And what I hope to accomplish, I think that the march is a show of unity between people and students from across the country to show that we're united against this, or we're united behind this front of March for Our Lives and Never Again, and that we're united in wanting, you know, laws that reflect that, laws that that will prevent something like this from ever happening again. So I think that show of unity is probably the most important thing here.
Rebecca, have you or are you going to meet with any lawmakers in Washington, D.C. At this march?
At this march, no, but I have met with, I met with Bernie Sanders.
Oh.
And I met with, I interviewed him for my newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What did he have to say?
Him about. Basically, we talked about the importance of grassroots movements like this and making policy change. And we talked about the grip, the vice-like grip that the NRA has on our politicians, and how that is the obstacle, really, that we have to get over to make these laws, you know, come and put into place. Because of that, you know, grip that they have on them, they're scared. And that's the biggest obstacle, really, that we're going to have to make actual change in Washington. So we talked to him a little bit about that, and it was really interesting.
We're on the phone with 16-year-old Rebecca Schneid, a junior at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland. She's the one of the editors-in-chief of the Eagle Eye, the school paper. And Rebecca, you know, when this stuff happens, and obviously you're not the first school to have this, there's a lot of noise and there's a lot of cries for change and new legislation. And then, you know, it seems to fall into a black hole. And I feel like we're in that black hole now. Nothing's really happened. Everyone said they're going to do something, at least bump stocks or this, that, and the other thing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. So how do you feel you're going to accomplish some change?
Well, I mean, they have made some change in Florida. They signed a bill, and then they had the Stop School Violence Act. But that act did not even have the word gun in it, which demonstrates how I don't think that they're taking us seriously yet. But I think what's important to understand is that we're not going to stop, you know, sending people to Tallahassee and to Washington, D.C., and we're not going to stop these protests and these walkouts until there is actual change. And I think that tomorrow, the show of unity from the march is going to, you know, hopefully push some lawmakers to understand that their constituents are behind this. Mm. You know, the overwhelming majority of people want these universal background checks. The overwhelming majority of people want, even, you know, gun owners, like responsible gun owners, want other gun owners to be responsible like them. And they understand the power of the weapon that they hold. And so I think that hopefully through this, they'll begin to understand. I think that we understand, we know the way that the government works. We know that, you know, a lot of times people promise things and then they go back on those promises. And in this case, that's because of the NRA. And so I think that that's why we are attempting to, you know, keep fighting and keep going there and keep showing them that we are behind this movement and that they need to get it behind it too. And I think that also sometimes it's very hard for people to make action if the people that are in power aren't going to really listen to them. And so that's why I think that voting comes into place. You know, in these midterms, midterm elections, and in a lot of other, you know, special elections and in elections following it, we're going to be using our right to vote in order to take out of power the people that aren't listening to us.
Right.
And so, you know, I think that is essential as well.
Rebecca, you met with Bernie Sanders, but are you going to try to meet with some of the Republican congressmen who are funded by the NRA?
I took a trip to Tallahassee, and I met with a lot of Republican lawmakers in Florida. I'm hoping to, we've been working with some other news outlets to see if we can get some interviews, some meetings with Republican lawmakers in Washington. So
They been responsive? Have they been responsive to your overtures?
Not very, understandably so, because I think that they're afraid. Not necessarily. The important thing is that I think that this isn't supposed to be a partisan issue. It's supposed to be a who supports us and who doesn't. And there are many Republicans that support us, but there are also many that don't. And I think that it all depends on who is willing to make that effort to make a change and is going to value the lives of children over the money that they get from organizations like the NRA.
Mm. All right, we're on with Rebecca Schneider. Before you run, Rebecca, a student at Parkland, and I know your family's from the New York area.
Survivor of the shooting now.
Survivor. Mm-hmm. Happy to have you on. Just before you run, I know when spring break ends April 2nd, all your fellow students will be required to wear clear backpacks and have identification badges on at all times. Your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. I think that people will do whatever they can to not make actual change. I think that, I appreciate the efforts to keep us safe. I appreciate that they are attempting to make sure that we are okay in school. But honestly, I think that that is not what we need. I think that what we need is legitimate change, laws that are going to protect us rather than backpacks. I think we need policy that's going to make sure that people can't bring the things that they can bring in schools. And once that happens, then I will feel actually safe. And until then, it doesn't matter how many clear backpacks, how many Kevlar walls, how many, bulletproof glass panes that we have in our school, I'm not going to feel safe.
All right. Rebecca Schneider, Jr. at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. She's in Washington, D.C. for the big march tomorrow. Rebecca, thanks for giving us your time.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
All right. Take care.
What a bright, articulate young lady. 16
editor,
years old.
Editor-in-chief of her high school newspaper as well.
When I was 16, I'd be going hummina, hummina. What a bright, bright, bright young lady.
You couldn't even write when you were 16.
That's for sure.
Len, it's going to be a good year at Citi Field. We hope on the field, but I understand the snack stands are really shaping up to be very tasty this year. WOR's Alice Stockton Rossini got a special preview of the bowl park menu. She's coming up with that. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 is coming up at 9:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's check in with Bernie Viter on the traffic.
Live from the heart of Tribeca, this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
And good morning, everyone. And Michael Riedel, when we take you out to opening day next Thursday.
I'm looking forward to it. My first ever Mets game.
You're looking forward to the baseball or the food?
Well, I'm looking forward to the baseball, but I've been hearing that the food this year is really good, that the snack bars are loaded with some appetizing stuff.
Well, let's leave it to our resident food critic, Alice Stockton Rossini, who checked it all out for us. Alice, what'd you think?
I don't know about that food, man.
What?
They got some wacky stuff.
What
they got
they
some
have?
Great stuff. They got some great stuff. They have, I got to say, sushi in the sun, I was confused by.
Ew.
Who eats sushi in the sun? I'm looking at all this sushi going,
all right.
I don't know. That's
you mean it's
scary.
Baking there in the sun? The sushi's just left out to bake
no,
in the sun?
No, I'm just saying you get the sushi and then you're in the sun. I don't know.
But
they
it's healthy.
You can eat it inside, yeah. All right, so let's start with, let's taste. We'll taste.
These are the famous fried balls. I heard about these balls. What's so famous? They're famous, huh?
Yeah, these are arancini. They date back to the 10th century in Sicily. They've been around forever. Pretty literally the oldest street food, or one of them.
Wait, stop.
Wait, those balls? Yeah. Those balls are centuries old?
They're centuries old, those balls. But
what are fried balls? They take baseballs and fry them?
Yeah, they look like baseballs.
Yeah. And what are they?
There's chicken parm inside them.
Oh, okay.
There's chicken parm and all kinds of goody things.
Ball, which is like a biscuit dough stuffed with tomato soup and cheddar cheese. Mm. And then an apple pie ball, which is a pie dough stuffed with apple pie filling.
That's some balls
coated in cinnamon sugar.
Some really, there's some balls,
Allison. How many calories in a ball? I don't want to know. I don't think I want to know.
Two
calories. One calorie in a ball.
What?
Two to 200.
Two to 200.
Oh, 200.
Oh, my God.
It's curly fries with lobster sauce, lobster, cheese, and oven-dried tomatoes.
Oh, boy.
Catch of the day.
Okay. And lobster tacos.
Lobster tacos. Mm. With a little, instead of a tortilla, we make a cheese.
Little cheese. Crunchy cheese.
Crunchy cheese.
Oh, that's...
Cheese to the rescue.
Oh. 0 calories, gluten-free. Good. How many calories? Zero, right? Zero?
Yeah, wait, zero.
Fat-free.
Exactly. Fat-free.
Fat-free, yeah. Porno Ray, what have you had, man?
Well, I have had... So far, my favorite thing so far is what I just showed you right there. This brat, where they bake the cheese right on the actual cheese horn, I think it's called. Cheese horn? Mm-hmm. That's what it's called. And they actually scrape it off as it's boiling hot onto the brat. They put a couple different condiments on top of it. It's delicious. One of my favorite things. The chicken and waffles were phenomenal.
Okay.
And right now I'm enjoying a nice slice of pizza.
Okay. How long will you be eating here?
Until they kick me out, pretty much. Great. Yes.
How much do you weigh?
Porno Ray was eating everything he could get.
What did you call him? Porno Ray?
Oh, yeah, Porno Ray.
That's an old nickname.
It's an old nickname.
Old nickname.
He used to be a producer on this show, but
that's right, yeah.
The number one food was chicken, waffles, and syrup.
There you go. Everything's got cheese on it. Where is City Field? Wisconsin? Everything's comes with cheese. Cheese on this and cheese on that. Cheese is on everything.
How are you going to keep that girlish figure, Alice? I don't know how you're going to do that.
I ran up and down the steps.
Don't put any cheese on your waffles.
All right. Ray, of course, is now. Thanks, Alice. Ray, of course, is now our great sports producer on Mets Baseball.
And a big eater, apparently, too.
Speaking of food, you know that hamburger could raise your pressure? But only your blood pressure, but only if you eat it a certain way.
Mm.
Wait to hear this one. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 coming right up after the news with Joe Bartlett. It is 9 o'clock.
Live from New York City,
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
Good morning, everyone, on a Friday, and it is one of those news days. The stories just keep on coming. Now, Joe, you had the story in your newscast, the president's tweet from a few moments ago, that overnight, what was it, the Senate passed the omnibus bill?
That was the
bill?
final passage, yeah.
So both houses have passed it.
Uh-huh.
It was going to go to the president for signature.
Right.
And this will keep keeps the government open starting tomorrow night, right? Or tonight.
Well, midnight, yeah.
Midnight tonight.
Yeah. Through September, right.
Okay, so he's threatening. He says, I'm considering a veto because the DACA recipients, he claims, were totally abandoned by the Democrats, not even mentioned in the bill, and the border wall is only partially funded. Now, so if he doesn't sign this thing, there's another government shutdown at midnight?
Right.
Chaos reigns in Washington, D.C.
I think he'll have to sign it, no? Since
you think he's going to sign it or is he going to veto it?
He's got a good point here. This DACA thing was a huge issue for Democrats.
Right.
Did not address it.
Didn't do anything about
it. And why don't they want to address it? Because they want that on the agenda for the midterm elections.
Exactly. No.
And blaming him.
No, because they don't want to fully fund a border wall. They don't want to be held hostage for a wall that they think is nonsense. And they don't want to spend billions and billions of dollars on a wall. And that's what the president's doing.
He was elected to build that wall, Len.
Yeah, by less popular votes
here
than
we
Hillary
go.
Clinton.
Yeah,
so.
Fewer.
And by the way, the Democrats never wasted taxpayer money.
Not a chance.
Well,
no
true.
Way.
That's a good point.
Get out that veto pen, Mr. Prez.
And the other big breaking story this morning is that hostage situation in the south of France in a small town. They're saying now two dead?
Two dead. Didn't you hear his demand? He wants the release of one of the individuals, an ISIS terrorist, responsible for the 2015 terror attacks. That's his demand.
How many more is he holding
hostage? Because I thought he let many of them go.
I think he probably only has a few people hostage, I believe. I did let some go. And again, there are two dead.
But it's ongoing right now.
Ongoing, yes.
In the supermarket in Trèbes, France. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's not going to get that release of that.
Of course not.
So those other hostages will maybe sacrificed, and then they'll kill him.
I hope you have a sharpshooter up there who's just like
take him out
with one bullet. Boom. Yeah. And also, what else do we have? Oh, we got the fireman, sadly.
We do. The big three.
Michael Davidson.
Yep. 37-year-old Michael Davidson. We had the tragic fire in Harlem overnight. It was outside a movie set. Ed Norton is the writer, director, star of the movie.
Yep.
Some other stars in the movie as well. Alec Baldwin and William Dafoe.
Bruce Willis is on the set of the movie. And apparently Ed Norton was there last night getting ready for today's shoot when Ed Norton himself saw the smoke coming out of the basement of this building and called 911.
And Michael Davidson, his dad was FDNY. His brother is currently, he's 37, but a 15-year veteran leaves four daughters. Just heartbreaking. Here is the FDNY chief, Dan Nigro.
Firefighter Davidson was the nozzle man of the first to arrive engine company, Engine 69. They encountered heavy fire. They did the best they could. Fire continued to advance. Units were forced to back out of the building. He's a 15-year veteran in this department, and he sadly leaves behind his wife and four young children.
Yeah, all girls. Just
real hero. Real hero. First one in. First one into that burning building.
Mm.
And that building is the site of a famous jazz club, no longer going, but the bar apparently is still there, and Ed Norton wanted to use the building as the backdrop in his movie.
Right, the building was abandoned. There was one neighbor who told Alice Stockton Rossini, well, her name's Elaine.
A lot of reconstruction is going on in these areas, and they're working on the electrical and plumbing systems, so anything can go wrong. Now, I do remember that. Was it 2 days ago? Con Ed was in this block, and they were working on something.
Well,
I mean, we don't know what caused the fire. Speculation: it could be something with a movie set. I've been on movie sets, Lynn, and you know a lot of cables and lights, very powerful lights on a movie set. So who knows? Who knows what started the fire?
Just so sad. Michael Davidson, 37 years old, is now gone, FDNY. Yes. Also in our Big Three this morning, a New York restaurateur by the name of Sing is singing at the Ed Mangano trial, and one of his favorite arias is that he has steered, he said this on the witness stand, yep. He has steered thousands and thousands to Bill de Blasio's campaigns in return for favors from the city.
De Blasio wanted him to give money to Yvette Clark, a congresswoman, and Singh told De Blasio, well, this could be a little tricky, you know, straw donors might not be above board. And De Blasio said, listen, I don't want to know. I don't want to know, Len. Just do it.
And the mayor's spokesman says, no. Nothing inappropriate.
Been investigated.
Nothing to see.
Nah, nothing there, yeah, sure.
And rounding out the Big Three in Trump world. The White House revolving door continues. In comes John Bolton. Out goes McMaster. Goes Dowd, the lawyer. Dowd, the lawyer, by the way. He was the one who prepared the report that got Pete Rose suspended from baseball way back when. Yeah, the John Dowd report. Same lawyer.
I'm glad John Bolton's coming in. I've always liked John Bolton. He was a really good UN ambassador under George Bush. George Bush II, and he really stood up to those corrupt, awful, despotic people from those third world countries in the United Nations. You know, those people who come here and they plunder and they loot their country and they live very well here in New York City in their fancy townhouses, eating in the fancy restaurants. And Bolton was having none of it. He's a tough guy with that funny little walrus mustache, which apparently Trump can't stand.
The knock on him, though, is that he likes conflict.
Well, so does Trump.
Yeah,
well, that's right. He's tough, but he's been saying about North Korea, he's not going to derail this possible summit coming up between America and North Korea. He's just saying that, like Ronald Reagan, you achieve peace through strength.
He's going to tear up the Iran nuclear deal. That's what he wants
like
to do.
Yeah, it sounds like
it. It sounds like Trump is going in that direction,
well,
too.
By
the way.
He replaces H.R. Puffin stuff McMaster.
You know what? What story gets totally buried? I mean, the market dropped 700 freaking points.
I know, but the Dow futures are up.
Because of China. Well, not really.
It's coming back, Len. Relax.
Len, it's called a buying opportunity.
The Trump, but with tariffs, China wants to retaliate.
If they charge us, we charge them the same thing. That's the way it's got to be. That's not the way it is. For many, many years, for many decades, it has not been that way.
Yeah, he says not good.
When they charge 25% for a car to go in, and we charge 2% for their car to come into the United States, that's not good.
Do you think that's fair, Len?
Yeah.
Well, you know what I did? No, it's not. But also, okay. What I also don't think is fair, you know, he made the point that the Chinese, for Americans to do business over there, have to give all their trade secrets. So he calls it theft of our, knowledge.
Well, the Chinese have been stealing our intellectual property for years.
Yeah. Exactly. So I support him on that. I think that's right. Wrong thing to do.
By the way, a lot of Democrats over the years have called for tariffs because they want to strengthen unions and American workers here. And now all of a sudden, people like Paul Krugman, that lunatic over at the New York Times, who used to be for tariffs, is now, this is a terrible idea. It's going to lead to a trade war, all because Trump wants it.
But that stealing of intellectual property that they do. yeah, I think that's wrong, and they should be punished for that.
So you're on the Trump side now.
Well, on that particular issue.
You think we should build a wall too, Len?
No, I do not. I think the wall thing is dopey. I really do. All right, you're a cook.
Yeah.
Look at this headline. Well-done meat could be bad for your blood pressure, says the American Heart Association.
Yes, well, you should never cook your meat, overcook your meat, make it well done. Meat should be served, especially beef, lamb should be served medium rare. If you overcook it, it tastes like shoe leather, and it gives you high blood pressure, and also those carcinogens are known to cause cancer. So the best way to serve your steak, medium rare.
What's your temperature? What's the best temperature for medium rare?
Well, when I do it at home on my stovetop, because I don't have a grill since I live in the city, and we're not allowed to have grills, I turn the pan, the heat in the pan up to about really high, put it on high.
The internal temperature, your thermometer.
Oh, I use a meat thermometer.
135, 130?
Yeah, something like that.
This is
a little
exciting.
Higher for poultry.
I'll tell you. I'm glad I'm listening to this conversation. What are you guys doing here? What is this, food chat? Oh, my God.
Len, this is what you do. You put me to sleep here. You take a nice ribeye steak, okay? A really nice, get a good cut from the butcher, a nice ribeye steak, nice and marbled and all that lovely fat in there. Turn the heat up in the pan high, put a little of beef fat in there, and then you throw it on only 2 or 3 minutes on each side for the meat. Maybe then stick it in the oven for about 2 or 3 minutes at 375. Then take it out. Very important now, you have to let it rest.
You have to rest.
Oh, you have to let it rest, and then all that lovely blood comes out.
This is just
all you know about cooking meat is I'll have mine medium rare.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Exactly. And when it comes in a little too medium, I'm ticked off. Hey, quickly, Toys R Us could be rescued.
Yes, apparently. There is a consortium of investors. Isaac Lorraine, CEO of a California-based toy and entertainment company, MGA Entertainment, and a group of investors have pledged $200 million with the goal of raising $1 billion in crowdfunding. I don't know how that's going to go. To rescue Toys R Us, which is shutting down a bunch of its stores around the country.
Well,
so
shutting them all down.
Do you have the Toys R Us theme song?
I don't.
But wait a minute. But that explains why they called off the liquidation sale. It was supposed to begin today. It's not going to happen.
That's why.
Yes,
it may be rescued.
Yeah.
It may be a last minute rescue. But how ironic is it that the Toys R Us founder just died? 94-year-old Charlie Lazarus.
Yeah.
Passed away.
Well, how did he die?
94.
He's 94.
Oh. I thought he choked on a yo-yo or something.
Cause of death,
like
94. Yeah, right. Founder of...
Well done steak.
He died just hours before his beloved toy... This is according to the New York Post, so...
Yeah.
Accurate, from the
100%.
Post. But died hours before his beloved toy chain was to begin the going out of business sale, which Joe mentioned.
Maybe rescued.
So
now
it has been called off. Huh?
I think.
Well, there
I
you go.
This
Toys R Us may live.
I was an FAO Schwartz guy, though. Never a Toys R Us guy.
Well, that music. And if you ever shop, I had a shop at Toys R Us. It used to be a nightmare. Those employees.
You're not going to.
God
not
love
gonna,
those employees, but if you could find one, they didn't know where anything was.
You're not going to throw in some money to this Kickstarter funding to save Toys R Us, Len?
Well, the billionaires may do it. Yeah. So anyway, coming up next. Black Panther has been at the top of the box office for weeks. Will Pacific Rim Uprising rise above it? Well, we're going to talk to WOR's movie critic Joe Neumeier when we come back. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 coming up at 10:05 here on 710 WOR. Right now, Bernie Viter has traveled.
In the morning on 710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. Coming up at 9:25. Len, it's the weekend, and you know what that means.
Yeah.
Let's go to the movies.
And our WOR movie guy, Movie Minute, Joe Neumeier. Joe, what's on tap this weekend?
Hey, guys. It is a zero-star movie.
Oh, God. Zero stars?
Zero stars.
It has to be seriously bad to get no stars from you.
Well, you know, it's got robots versus monsters, so how can that be bad? Well,
yeah.
Because Pacific Rim Uprising, it's like made from the spare parts of like old Transformers movies and Independence Day and Starship Troopers. It's really terrible. The original, a lot of people don't even remember the original.
I don't remember it.
Right. It was from 2013. It was called Pacific Rim. Oddly enough, directed by this year's best director and best picture winner,
really?
Guillermo del Toro.
Wow.
This is just a junkie. I mean, that was junkie too.
The 80s threw movies like E.T.
Exactly.
And Raiders of the Lost Ark and all that stuff.
And even producing things like Back to the Future. And
right.
That's a big part of this movie supposedly too. And there's a lot of special effects in it. He did, while while the special effects were going on, that's when he took some time off for 7 months to go film The Post, as they were kind of doing the special effects on this thing. And it got a lot of buzz out of South by Southwest where it premiered.
What's it called?
It's called Ready Player One.
Ready Player One.
So it's got a whole video game type thing to it. But right, it's sort of Spielberg on Spielberg in a lot of ways. So right. I'm looking forward to that. We'll see what it develops. But I think it that might be a lot of fun. And Spielberg sort of really kind of getting back into a mode of play, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joe Neumeier, our movie guy, before you run away, this movie that's getting zero stars.
Yeah, Pacific Rim Uprising.
It cost a lot of money to make
I mean, it's Universal. It's a big studio. It costs a lot of money.
Wow.
But you know what? It's also got such an international cast and feel. And there's, you know, there's a Japanese corporation that's part of the villainy that's going on. So it'll make a lot of money probably overseas, which is part of the deal.
So that'll just encourage them to make more bad Pacific Rims.
Exactly. So more monsters fighting, more robots, more Pacific Rims. Forget it. Down with the uprising.
All right, Joe. Joe Neumeier, WOR's Movie Minute Man. Thanks a lot.
You got it, guys.
The thing with these movies.
Oh, my God. I'm not going to go see Pacific Rim this weekend.
But they make they cost a zillion.
Yeah.
They're awful. Oh, well, this one's awful. But they'll probably make a lot of money. I mean, it sounds like internationally this could, like, you know. Japan,
yeah, well, that's what the market is. They're not making it for us anymore. They're making it to go around the world, these crappy movies. And then if they do well, it just encourages them to make Pacific Rim 12 and 13 and 14. But, you know, I stopped going to the movies, frankly, Lynn. Quite a while ago, because I'm not interested in robots fighting Godzilla creatures and all this kind of nonsense.
Not either. I like movies about, you know, people.
Human beings. Plot.
Yeah, like human beings, right. Not animation, not robots, just normal human beings having issues or comedies or dramas or mysteries. I'm old fashioned that way.
I'm not a snob about the movies, right. And I grew up on things. I loved Star Wars and whatnot, but those movies, they had characters that involved you. They had plots that
were favorite all time movie is what?
My favorite all time movie is Burt Lancaster and Tony Curtis in Sweet Smell of Success, because it's about a power mad Broadway gossip columnist in New York City in the 50s, and he uses his column to punish his enemies and promote his friends, and he's really vicious, and Tony Curtis plays this toady press agent who does his bidding.
Yeah, so it's right up your alley. If I had to pick one, I guess I'd pick The Graduate.
It's a good one.
I just thought it was just so great on so many different levels, and it was, you know, Dustin Hoffman was phenomenal, but the cast was good. It's just the way he produced it. Remember, he would overlap scenes.
And Mike Nichols directed it. Yeah. Beginning of Mike Nichols' great career. And also, I got to throw in, because I watched it with my girlfriend the other night, I think one of the funniest movies ever made, Dustin Hoffman in Tootsie.
Oh, yes. Tootsie, classic. Love, and Bill Murray in Tootsie. This is one crazy show, or whatever he said. Loved it.
Yeah,
loved
it,
loved it, loved it.
And, you know, the guy who wrote MASH, Larry Gelbart, he wrote Tootsie, and he hated Dustin Hoffman. They used to fight all the time. And he had a line about Dustin Hoffman. He said, never work with an Oscar winner who's shorter than the statue.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
That's a great insult. A great insult.
That's a bazing, yeah.
Absolutely. All right, so this weekend, watch Sweet Smell of Success, Tootsie, and The Graduate. And now let's check in with the 9:30 News with Joe Bartlett.
Let's play our game. Len, have you peaked?
I have not. But I just have to think, with China wanting to take retribution, I got to say the market's down.
Okay. Wrong again.
We won the trade war, Len. We won the trade war. It's over with, just as Trump said we would.
No big deal yesterday. No, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up right now, up 60. Oh, wow. Just went up to 87 points.
Whoa.
87.
I just have my finger on the financial pulse.
Don't I? That's very good. You haven't got one right all week.
Not one.
Charles Schwab over here.
Charles Schwab.
S&P's up 7 points. NASDAQ up 11. All right. This is after a 700-point drop on Wall Street yesterday at the Dow. Okay. The sad news here. 37-year-old firefighter dead after a fire in a movie set in Harlem. Michael Davidson was responding to a fire in St. Nicholas Avenue. Became separated when the fire forced the fire crews to back out of the building. Here's the fire commissioner, Daniel Nigro.
Members tried desperately to find firefighter Davidson. When they did, he was unconscious. Despite the best efforts of the members of our firefighting forces, EMS, and here at the hospital,
They were unable to revive Michael.
Davidson was a 15-year veteran of the department and the father of four daughters. That movie being filmed with Motherless Brooklyn, it starred Ed Norton and Bruce Willis. At least two people dead after a man pledging allegiance to ISIS took hostages in a supermarket in southern France. Media reports say the suspect has now let the hostages go and is alone with police in that market. Also a second incident where somebody was shot, a police officer shot at another location. We're not quite sure officially if they're connected, but the prime minister of France says this is definitely terrorism.
But didn't they say that there's an armed police officer inside talking with the hostage taker?
Alone with police in the supermarket.
Okay, yeah, they're saying, it's going on.
Yes, still going on. President Trump now threatening to veto the spending bill just approved by Congress. In a tweet this morning, the president says he's considering the veto based on the fact that 800,000 DACA recipients have been totally abandoned by the Democrats, and he's not happy with the amount of funding for his wall along the Mexican border. Speaking of the president, a former Playboy model says she had an affair with President Trump between 2006 and 2007. Karen McDougal telling her story to CNN.
We had dinner there for a few hours. We talked for a few hours. We had a great time. We were getting to know each other. We were talking about his birthday. And then as the night ended, we were intimate.
Well, McDougal says they were in love, and she was kind of insulted when Trump offered her some money.
He paid her. Wanted to pay her.
How much for this one, honey? She did.
What he said, do you have change? I thought that was just completely tacky.
She does admit feeling guilty because Trump was married at the time to Melania.
Oh.
And the whole Stormy Daniels story, supposedly going to be on 60 Minutes this Sunday. We shall see. Mm. All right, and finally, a load of baloney here. City lawmakers pushing to ban baloney and other processed meats from school lunches. Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams says they cause cancer, and there's absolutely no reason why we should continue poisoning our children's health with processed foods.
Is that proven that processed meats cause cancer?
Well, they're not good for you.
They're not good for you.
Well, I can't imagine it's as good as natural food, but does it really cause cancer? Baloney? Mm-hmm. Or is that baloney?
And I think these processed foods, not good. You should have all natural baloney.
Whatever that is.
There is no natural bologna.
Is there a natural bologna?
It grows on a bologna tree.
It's from the... It's from the... It's the, you know, people raise bologna animals in France.
Yeah. So. The only natural bologna is what Len says.
That's what I say on the air.
Yeah.
All natural bologna on the air.
All right. Speaking of salami, coming up, Trump and his women. We've got Stormy Daniels will be possibly on 60 Minutes, and we've got the former Playboy bunny who claims she was madly in love with our president.
What,
at
Trump
one
at his salami? What?
You got me going on the cold cuts right now. Okay. So all that is coming up, plus your chance at $1,000 at 10:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's check on traffic with Bernie Biter.
And at 9:41, welcome back, everyone, on a Friday morning. Opening day right around the corner. Perfect time to welcome to Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning, the general manager of the New York Mets, Sandy Alderson. Good morning, Sandy. How are you?
Len, doing well. Yourself?
We're doing fine. We're a little, we can't wait to hear the news because you're in this long closed door meeting, which means you've got great big news to break on our show this morning.
Yeah, what was going on with that meeting, Sandy?
Well, we were just talking about the next 3 or 4 days and some of the final personnel moves that we have to make. Nothing final at this point, but we're getting down to the last couple of days. The competition, I think, is essentially over, and we need to make some decisions. So we're going to do that over the course of the next 48 hours.
Where are the key decision areas? Where does it come down to?
I think it comes down to, who the fifth starter is to begin the season. And probably the extra players that we're going to carry and whether we go with 7 in the bullpen or 8, which will affect, the number of position players that we're able to carry. So, those, I think, are the key areas.
Well, when you mentioned fifth starter, I guess there are a lot of Met fans who are saying, all right, well, Zach Wheeler, now you got the fearsome 5 and you got all those guys together. But, Zach struggled a little bit, and I guess that's where you have to make a decision.
Yeah, well, Vargas was hurt, as you know, and is probably not going to be available for his first start in all probability. So that shifts the spotlight to Wheeler. He didn't pitch particularly well last night, and Lugo did pitch well, although Lugo is somebody we'd like to have in the pen, in that middle range long man role. But those are decisions we'll make in the next couple of days.
Sandy, when you're kicking all this stuff around, who makes the final decision? Do you have the final say?
You know, I think what we try to do is reach consensus and talk through it in a way that, you know, we all kind of land on the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
If things are controversial, then, typically as it relates to the roster, probably the general manager has the final say with lots of input from the manager and the coaching staff and other people in the front office. If it's about playing time and how that roster is used, it's typically the reverse. The manager makes those decisions with input from everybody else. So as we get down here to the last two or three spots on the roster, it's a combination of how the players play, which is the manager's main concern, and also the administrative elements, who has waivers, who's not on the roster, those types of things.
We're on with Sandy Alderson, the general manager of the Mets. Season gets underway next Thursday. Obviously, last season was a big disappointment. Do you have a general feeling? I mean, are you feeling positive, feel strong, feel good going into the new season?
Yeah, I'm feeling very positive. The spring has been hasn't been great through, let's say, last week. But, we started to play very well as our regular players have started to play more. As we get closer to the regular season, these exhibition games become a little more important and, better evidence of where we are. And I think we won four out of the last five. So I think, we're playing well. The starting pitching is starting to perform well. The relievers that we're going to rely on. So everybody, last night we had some timely hitting, certainly in the one inning. So things are starting to come together. I'm very optimistic. And it's been a lot of fun, really, to work with the manager and the coaching staff and, implementing some new things on the medical side. So it's been invigorating.
Well, yeah, you had some medical problems. That's good if you could straighten it out. You had a 9-run inning last night. All good.
Yeah. Sandy, of course, you are keeping eagle eyes on your own team, but you must be watching the other teams, too. Who's the biggest competitor, do you think, for the Mets?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that in our division, it's the Nationals. They've got a very good team, have had a good team over the last several years, and on paper look to be very good this season as well. So, I think that to some extent we measure ourselves against them. And I take the games we play them in spring training very seriously, as I did when I was in Oakland when we played the Giants, or when I was in San Diego we played the Dodgers. It's spring training, but you want to win those games to sort of establish a relationship. And so I definitely think the Nationals in our division are the competition.
All right, one more question before you run. We're on with Sandy Alderson, Mets general manager. Sandy, Michael Conforto looking good in the simulated games. Are you still aiming for a May 1st comeback for him?
Well, he is. He's going to DH in the game today. I think all indications are that he is ahead of schedule. How far ahead of schedule is something we're probably going to determine over the next two or three days and make a decision about about what happens with him next week. But I would say that generally speaking, he is ahead of schedule. How far ahead of schedule? A little bit difficult to determine right now.
All right, Sandy Alderson, let's play ball. Great talking to you, and we'll see you down the road. Sandy Alderson,
right.
Nice general manager.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck.
All right. That was a good, it's funny. It's a really good question you asked, and I think...
And I didn't... You didn't write it out for me. I did it by myself.
No, I don't write questions. No. But, when it comes to a final decision
on who's going to be on the roster.
In all sports, for example, now in football, you'll get a guy, you know, like a coach like a Bill Belichick, who is, he makes
he's
every
the king,
call.
Right?
Yeah, he's the king of the franchise.
Yeah.
But, you know, team like this, but no, Sandy Alderson would make the final call with personnel matters. Good question. Coming up next, Katy Perry. I think she's taking on the chin from a nun.
Those nuns aren't backing down.
Not at all. And why Rod Stewart is blasting Elton John. Find out what he's saying. Coming up next, plus your chance at $1,000 after the news at 10:05. But right now, Bernie Viter has traffic.